Hello everyone, welcome back all of you to my 8th episode of the podcast Nationalism in India. Hope you all are fine and taking good care of yourself. Very good. Till now, we have discussed the moderate phase of Indian national movement. We have understood their demands, their contribution, everything. Today, we will be discussing about the next phase of Indian national movement, and that phase is known as, we all know, extremist phase, right? Do you know that violence is a weapon of a weak person? If someone is using the violence, it means that person is physically weak, mentally weak, he or she is not able to take any decision himself or herself. And this statement is not given by me, it was given by our father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi, right? But sometimes what happens, situations are not favorable and it evokes violent behavior. Do you agree with this? I hope you all agree with this. As when we see our history, we see there that the extremist phase witnessed the violent behavior of those who were part of it. But why they have used violence? What prompted them to use it? Something was there which instigated them. Dear all, it was not something, many things were happening during the period of 1885 to 1905, and the main developments, the developments which occurred during this period turned the simple, normal, innocent Indians into the violent one. And we have to understand this. And that is what happened. And especially when the faith of the moderate nationalist shattered with the partition of Bengal in 1905. This was an ultimate blow on this illusion moderates, and it was initiated to draw a wedge between Hindu and Muslim. This was a very brutal policy to divide Indians and rule them. So this policy was something where Indians, especially the moderates, the early nationalists, they lost their faith, their immense faith in their policies. Their basic failure was not of that of not keeping pace with the events. They could not see that their own achievements had made their politics obsolete. And when the partition occurred, they were disappointed. This period of 1885 to 1905 had never seen nationalism well-defined or clear-cut. Well-educated Indians were there. They had formed nationalist organization to represent the views, but their policies were not well defined. During this period, nationalism evolved through different meanings and forms provided to it by different groups and individuals. We should understand its development in context of the totality of changes brought by colonialism. Yes, so the changes enforced by the colonialism, the policies which they have introduced, affected the thoughts and the actions of the people during this phase. Which phase? 1885 to 1905. And the British, they were so relaxed that they openly criticized the Congress. The officials turned openly critical of the Congress, the nationalist readers and the press. So this was something where Lord Dufferin's statement in 1888 in public speech, which was something where he ridiculed the Congress, and he said that it is a microscopic minority. George Hamilton, Secretary of State for India, accused the Congress leaders of possessing seditious and double-sided character. So, even in 1905, when the partition occurred, Lord Curzon, who was Viceroy at that time, he said, "Gokhale either does not see where he is going, or if he does see it, then he is dishonest in his pretensions. You cannot awaken and appeal to the spirit of nationality in India at the same time profess loyal acceptance of British rule." So with this statement, it is very clear what was going in the minds of the British at that time when the Congress was initiating the different policies. The policies of what? Policies of requests, persuasions, petitions. So this was nothing. They were not threatened by this. Who were not threatened? Britishers, yes. And this was something that the British were eager to finish the Congress. Why was this so? Because moderates, although they were loyal, but still they were the propagators of anti-colonialist politics. So they wanted to finish the Congress. Second, the British policy makers felt that the moderate-led Congress could be easily finished because it was weak and without a popular base. And that was something which gave them a pride in themselves. Why? Because they were knowing that Congress has no popular base. It can be easily finished. But the change occurred. Many things happened. Here, please note it down, that Indian Council Act of 1892, which was passed, resulted in no substantial gains for the Indians. And though it allowed the members of the councils to discuss the budget and ask questions, but no power was given to vote on the budget or move amendments. So there was no substantial gain with this act also. So everything was something which was just a fake thing. It was just to satisfy the Indians for the time, not for satisfying their hope for achieving independence. So they wanted to continue their rule. Who wanted to continue their rule? Britishers. They wanted to continue, and for that they were trying hard at this time also, when they were knowing that Indians, they have started using their voice against them. When people are being mobilized in this situation also, they were fighting hard to sustain themselves in India, right? And that was there. The conscious British policy of encouragement of divisions within the Indian allied groups along the caste and religion line was something very common. National consciousness during this phase also was in nascent stage. A lot of problems were there, and that is why I have mentioned here that the nationalism or the nationalist policies were not well defined. they had an objective, but in reality it was not fulfilled. Right? Sufferings further added more problems. Sufferings because of the famine of 1896 and 1998, and in 1891 to 1901, all these famines were very, very difficult and they caused a lot of sufferings to the people. Next important point here, the ill-treatment of the Indians in South Africa and the defeat of Russia and Japan in 1904. All this boosted the Indians. It actually gave the power to move forward, and the new section came up or sprouted within the Congress, and that section was known as extremist. From the name itself, it's clear extremists, their behavior was in extreme policies. They have shown extreme violence. Why? Because of all the factors which we have discussed. I hope I'm clear to you all, and you all are listening to me. Yes, very good. So the extremists declared four important things. The four important things, but before that, let me tell you that there was a split in the Congress in the year 1907, and from that on the basis of that split, extremist group came up and they have compromised resolutions on four important demands: Swadeshi, boycott, national education, and self-government. Throughout 1907, the two sides fought, the moderate side and the extremists, they fought over differing interpretations of four resolutions, and by the end of 1907, they were looking upon each other as a main political enemy. The radicals, the extremists, they were convinced that the battle for the freedom had begun now, as the people had been roused. They felt that it was a time for the big push. In their view, the moderates were a big drag on the movement. So that is why the radicals came up and they have advocated their policy. Their main important term or the word was boycott. They have used the word boycott, and according to Amil's Tripathi, through boycott, extremists hope to strike at the roots of the British prestige. The psychological reaction to benevolent despotism was to be the benevolent indifference. They wanted to strike at the roots of the British prestige by not working for them. It was a kind of passive resistance. They were not resorting to the physical violence. They were causing a problem to the Britishers by not working for them, by using their own handmade or the Swadeshi goods and developing or constructing self-help. So these things they started. Why? So that Indians should start relying on themselves. Self-reliance was something very important for them. With this, they initiated the passive resistance and paralyzed the working of the normal working of the government, the British government. Tagore's nationalist poems and writings were paralleled by his repeated evocation of Atma Shakti, self-reliance. So his words advocated self-reliance, right? And this was very important. Lala Lajpat Rai advocated industrial self-help and need for the technical education. Tilak himself began celebrating what? Ganpati and Shivaji festivals to appeal to patriotic and the cultural sentiments of the people. All these things were used for mass contact. And here, one thing is very important, please note it, that they used Hindu imaginaries for mass contact. And so Bengal, the regions of Bengal, peasant population comprised large chunks of Muslim population, and they could find that this kind of evocation of nationalism in terms of Hindu ethos and cultures. So this was something which was annoying them, right? So the nationalist culture was spread with their efforts, and they gave a different, who gave a different meaning to Swaraj here? Extremist, right? The different meaning of Swaraj was given by them, and that was complete political independence. So that is why Tilak raised the slogan that Swaraj is my birthright and I shall have it. All these things were good. The extremists came up. They started working for the people. But the unfortunate part of the extremists were that it gave or it took form of revolutionary terrorism, individual violence against the British rule. For instance, you must have read about the murder case of Mr. Rand, the plague commissioner, in the year 1897, when the plague spread in the regions of Maharashtra. Then what happened? The people, they were not satisfied with the reactions of the British. So what they did, individuals themselves took the things in their hands, and they, Chapikar brothers, Samodar Hari, Balakrishna Hari, they simply did the wrong thing. They murdered plague commissioner, and due to this violence was created, and this was something where the extremist behavior turned into a militant agitation, and obviously in return they were being executed. Anushilan Samiti was created. We will be discussing about the revolutionary terrorism which was evoked with this extremist behavior in our next episode, but our focus here is to understand the meaning of extremists. What was the contribution? So for concluding today's episode, I'm just briefing you the contribution of extremists, the period from 1906 to 1918, known as the period of extremist politics in international movement. Although they have started their process formally by the split in the Congress in 1907, but their period was 1906 to 1918, right? This period was characterized by the aggressive attitude of the leaders, as we have discussed. Third important point, the extremists were led by the leaders like Bal Gangadhar Tilak, Lala Lajpat Rai of Punjab, Bipin Chandra Pal of Bengal, and these leaders were known as Lal Bal Pal. They had a tremendous influence in Punjab, Maharashtra and Bengal respectively. So this was something about extremists, and here I would just remind you the thoughts of Swami Vivekananda, who has tried to propound the extremist philosophy, and he has very nicely written somewhere. I remember this because I have read this during my master's in history, and this was something very, very good which I have learned from his thoughts. Swami Vivekananda said that there was a fear in the minds of Indians at that time. Which time? I'm talking the time of 1905. Okay, there was a fear in the minds of Indians, and they were gripped in that fear. due to which they were not able to build the unity and raise their voice against the British. So this fear was something which was helping the Britishers to sustain themselves in India. So we need to remove this fear. That was his request to the people of India. And I do agree, if you have fear in your mind, you cannot do anything in life. Fine to have fear, to have a successful life, to have a peaceful life, you have to remove all the fear in your mind. If someone or something is causing a fear in your mind, please, please, please don't think about that. Leave it to the destiny, and destiny will decide. You just relax, keep a smile on your face, and be connected with me. Till then, take a very good care of yourself, be connected with me, and bye-bye.